and it's valuable for us to see it that way. We sometimes think it's a specific task for a specific person, but it's way more than that. We're all in that situation. So that's the first one, the Lone Ranger principle. There really isn't a place for the Lone Ranger in ministry. Then consider the vacuum principle, not like vacuuming the floor, but nothing actually occurs in a natural state in a vacuum. You have to kind of make a vacuum. Everything is related to something else or someone else, and that's true in all the different contexts of life, and we need to remember that. Context is always crucial. We talked about that somewhat in the Sunday School Hour earlier. It's true not only in the interpretation of Scripture or any other writing text, but it's true in daily life as well. Context is critical. All of the biblical writings were given in a particular context. Biblical truth was given in a particular context, and the truth principles can be applied in other contexts as appropriate. That's why we need to recognize when we look at a text, what are the principles? They were given in a specific context, but they have an application as far as the principle in other contexts as well. And so it's helpful to remember that. And then there is the puzzle principle. We're all related to someone somehow. Life consists of a web of relationships. We know people who know people who know people. And it's always fun when you meet someone for the first time and you're talking with them and you find, well, they know somebody that I know, even though I didn't know that they knew that. It reminds me of when I went to some of the trips to Russia, and I was able to meet up with, I think, a second cousin of mine. I think three different times I was able to see him, who was living and working. He was teaching at a university in Moscow. And I found out about, actually, he found me. I was on Facebook at the time. I haven't been for a long time, but and he found that there were two other David Broersmas. He was a David Broersma. He was David H. Broersma. I'm David L. Broersma. And then there was another David Broersma somewhere in Saskatchewan or something, somewhere like that. So he reached out to me, and we found out that our grandfathers were brothers. And I didn't know he existed. He didn't know, but we had the same name. So we looked him up and had some interesting time connecting. So you just never know who you're going to run into somewhere or another. We are quite practically all connected in some way. We have influence on others, whether we realize it or not. We are influenced by others, whether we realize it or not. And it's intended to be a positive reality for good, that we have these connections, because we are made for fellowship. We're made for service. And we do better when we're involved with both. And it focuses on our need to relate to one another and our need to serve one another. And in this passage, we get a glimpse of what was important to Paul and perhaps what should be important to us. He did not hesitate to point out connections that he had for various reasons. So let's look at that. What are some specific ministry principles and people? So let's look at the text again, looking at verses 7 through 9. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. So he's going to be the newspaper to pass things along. Of course, today it's more podcasts, I suppose. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Now, if you have a different version based on a different textual basis than the New King James that I'm looking at, you may find that some of the versions say that you may know our circumstances and comfort our hearts. So there's a textual variant there. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, who would have been part of their fellowship, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. So this is a connecting point that he's dealing with here. So consider the importance of communication. Paul felt it was important that he communicate through Tychicus as well as through Onesimus. So let's start with the ministry of Tychicus. So what do we know about him? Well, he's mentioned five times in the New Testament, three different occasions. He was from Asia. He was noted on Paul's third missionary journey, Acts 20, verse 4, and he accompanied Paul along with several others, and his name is pointed out on that occasion. He's referenced during Paul's first Roman imprisonment in Ephesians 6:21 and Colossians 4:7. He was sent on two missions, one to Crete, according to Titus 3:12, and also he's referenced as going to Ephesus, 2 Timothy 4:12. So he's someone who shows up a few different times. We don't know a whole lot about him, but we know a little bit. What do we know about his task, his ministry? Well, it was to inform, in this case. He's the only one mentioned in the Ephesians conclusion, Ephesians 6:21-22, but Onesimus is also, and others are mentioned in the book of Colossians. His task was to encourage. He was to be an encouragement so that they would know how one another are doing. He was that the in-between person. And what was said of him? Well, he's referred to as a beloved brother, which would suggest a close personal relationship because he had traveled with him, so we would have had some time to get to know him a bit. He's referred to as a faithful brother. That would be a diligent disciple doing what he's asked to do. And he's referred to as a fellow servant in the Lord, a co-laborer under Christ. Some may suggest, well, this almost sounds like a job description, talking about relationships, duties, and responsibilities. Kind of covers some of those things as well. Then there's the ministry of Onesimus. Whenever I hear that name, I think back to when I was in seminary, and there was someone in my class whose name was Onesimus Nagundu. Ask me why I remember his last name. I don't know, but he was in enough classes that, and he was from Africa and had a strong accent, nice fellow. So anyway, when I think of Onesimus, that's what comes to my mind. But in this case, Tychicus was with Onesimus. They were fellow messengers. They were to communicate together. He's recognized as a faithful and beloved brother. His destination was to go back to his owner, according to Philemon 12, which would also be back to his home church, because he's referenced as who is one of you, or who is of you, and there was a restoration that was to take place because he had had opportunity to leave and was being asked to go back, and Philemon is asked to deal with him appropriately, which would mean ultimately perhaps to let him go free. So then we continue on our list here, beginning at verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Well, what does that tell us? Well, they were of Jewish background, apparently, since they were of the circumcision. So that's the first part. And then there's Epaphras, who is of you. Again, part of their church family, it sounds like. a bondservant of Christ. Some versions say slave, just different translations of the same word. Greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So, consider the importance of relationships. There are the Jewish brethren that are indicated here, verses 10 and 11, starting off with Aristarchus, referred to as fellow prisoner, that may or may not refer to literally a prisoner, but may be a metaphorical reference. He was from Thessalonica in Macedonia, according to Acts 20, verse 4. He was involved in a riot in Ephesus, Acts 19, 29. And that riot in Ephesus was kind of a big deal, as they were shouting for a couple of hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," you may recall. He was a traveling companion of Paul on his third missionary tour. And he traveled with Paul to Rome, according to Acts 27, verse 2. So he had some points of contact. He had time with him. And then there's Mark, also called John, referred to as John Mark, Acts 12, 25. He was with Paul on the first missionary tour, but he left the work, kind of referred to by Paul as abandoning them. When Paul and Barnabas were on that first missionary journey, Acts 13, 13. Paul then refused to take Mark on the second journey, Acts 15, 37 to 39. But Mark was eventually restored to Paul, and here he is writing about him to receive him, to welcome him. There seems to be the thought of removing whatever prejudice there may have been in the past, where there was some uncertainty about him. And he is seen as helpful to Paul's ministry. 2 Timothy 4:11 says that. He's helpful to me. He became a gospel writer. The Gospel of Mark is written by Mark or John Mark. So what we see here is there's hope for restoration when someone messes up. That ought to be an encouragement, because I don't know too many among us who haven't messed up something at some time in some way. And some of us maybe are worse than others, but there's hope for restoration. That's a real blessing. And then there is a reference to Jesus' justice, 11, the first part. He's given honorable mention, not much is said of him. His Hebrew name, Yeshua, or anglicized as Joshua, is noted. And then his Greek name, Justice. Nothing else is known of him. He's basically behind the scenes, but he is referenced here. These are the Jewish brethren. They are referenced as of the circumcision, which would have been obvious for those who were reading it at that time. And they were fellow workers of God's kingdom, it says. And that's referring to the general rule, kingdom rule of God, in contrast to the millennial kingdom of Christ, which would be on the earth in the future. So there's an important distinction to be made there. And they were a comfort to Paul, and even he needed encouragement, because there were some at times who, it says in Philippians 1 verses 15 through 17, some preach Christ out of envy, others not. So these were with him in that regard. And then there are the Gentile brethren, 12 through 14, and there's an offering of greetings here. Epaphras, verses 12 and 13, there's several noteworthy points that are given. He's recognized as one of you, so we would have been from Colossae. He was earlier recognized as perhaps the person that may have initiated the church getting started in Colossae. He's referenced in Colossians 1:7. He was essentially Paul's ambassador or liaison, according to verse 8 of Colossians 1. He's referred to as a bond servant or slave for Christ. He was one who was diligently giving of himself. And he's also noted as a prayer warrior for them. He's expressing his concern, or Paul is speaking for him, expressing his concern that he was constantly praying for them with due diligence. The word fervent there comes from the Greek word agonizomai. We see the word agony there, to agonize over something. So he's, you know, strongly wrestling in prayer for them, laboring fervently. There was a concern for their maturity being complete in him, and for their confident assurance as well. So because Epaphras would have been from Colossae, he would have been someone who had concern for that church, who knew Paul, and there was that point of connection that he's passing along. Also, those in Laodicea, as well as in Hierapolis, there's some concern for those folks as well. And then there's Luke, the beloved physician, referenced in 2 Timothy 4:11, also Philemon verse 24. He was a co-traveler with Paul and Silas on the second and third missionary journeys in what's called the "we" passages, because he said, "We did this, we did that," and he's recognized as the author of the book of Acts. So he comes to the situation with some skills and expertise as a physician. And if you've ever read 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 28, you might see why Paul might have some benefit from a physician, since he would get himself beat up and so on, had issues, physical challenges at times. It might be handy to have someone like that along. But then there's a question that comes to mind. If Paul was a healer, why did he need a physician? Because the healing was selective by purpose, and the purpose was to be a sign of the apostolic authority. And so it wasn't to heal himself. It was to show God was at work by the Spirit's enablement on those occasions. But we also know of Luke as the writer of the third gospel that's named after him, and he would have also known Mark, John Mark. So Luke had endeared himself to Paul, referred to as beloved as well. And then we come to Demas. What do we know about Demas? Well, from 2 Timothy 4:10, we see that Demas had forsaken Paul for this world, he says. Here he is still with them. Some have suggested that Demas may have been Paul's amanuensis, or his writing secretary at times, looking to Philemon chapter verse 24. Other than that, there were no comments that were given here. So we know at least a little bit about there. So now consider some principles of application from the greetings. The first would be the who you know principle. They say it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, there are contexts where that would certainly fit. And the point is to enlist those to assist you who have supplemental gifts, not to find those that are just like you, but to find someone who is able to do other things. And so if you find yourself in a context where there are people around you who are not just like you, and they sometimes get on your nerves because they're not just like you, that is a great opportunity for you to thank the Lord that they're not the same as you. Something to think about. Now, some have said if two people are the same, one of them's not necessary. That's been said about marriage. So So we could be grateful that we're not all the same. We are different because we have different gifts, gifting in different ways. Paul had gospel writers with him, church planters, messengers, the different aspects of different things that people were doing. And we all have variations of gifts, and we all need each other, and we need to recognize that just because someone isn't just like me, that's probably a good thing, because we need all the different types of gifts and all the things that go with that. Now, we also recognize if someone is gifted in one area, they're probably more limited in another area. Well, that's where we need each other to fill in those areas as well. So we need to not be careful not to get irritated with someone who doesn't see things just like I do, because maybe I need some insight that they may have, or maybe they need some insight that I might have, and it can work that way. Then there's, then there's the co-laborer principle, teamwork, working together. We saw that a week or so ago. I can't remember how many, since I'm always working ahead, I can't remember which week I'm in. When we were helping Melinda move, there were several of us, and we all had different experiences and talents and different vehicles that all worked together. That was great. There were some stairs to climb. It wasn't necessarily as easy for some to go up the stairs as others. There were other things. Some had the presence of mind to bring some hand trucks. It's just when you've got different people see and do things differently, it works out. And the key is to recognize what we have together within the body of Christ. And then there is the restoration principle. When we see the relationship between Paul and John Mark, that it was broken at one point when John Mark left the work, and yet it was able to be repaired, and he was seen as someone who was useful for the ministry. And when we find ourselves in similar kinds of situations, we need to see, is there a way that something can be restored when it has been broken? We want to restore relationships, not destroy them. And sometimes things have to be worked out, and there's lessons to be learned. Even in the situation where Paul and Barnabas separated over John Mark at the beginning of the second missionary tour, there was benefit because then they ended up with two teams that were able to go out. So out of something that might look like it's negative, something positive can come out of it, and we do well to keep that in mind and to be reminded how important relationships are within the body of Christ. And we need to take advantage of the variations that we have and to realize that we're social beings and we need the fellowship within the body as well. Then, looking at verses 15 through 18, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphos and the church that is in his house. Or there's a textual variant there that says Nympha and the church that is in her house. So you can decide which one you like better. Actually, you could do some textual criticism. This one is rated at a C, which is, we're not exactly certain which is the best reading, but there is a variant there. And it doesn't really matter if you see what the intention is. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. So here we want to consider the importance of the local church. Local churches are essential. Now, we recognize the value of the universal church, the whole body of Christ throughout the history of the church and in all places around the globe. But there's a local outworking that is necessary. And there's concern here with more than just one local assembly, also the nearby church in Laodicea and a house church that's specifically referenced as well. And I already mentioned the textual variant here as to whether this was a male or a female. The ending of the name in some manuscripts is male, and the ending of the name in others is female. And it would be like the name Roberto or Roberta. Which is it? The ending of the name. It's not always clear. For our concerns, it does not matter which it is. It would have been known at the time. They would have recognized it. The point for us is that the church was meeting there. It was known by Paul, who wished to pass along greetings to them. And again, the church is made up of people that need encouragement and interaction, and they need to work together. Also, another observation, local churches are complementary, not competition. There are other churches around. That's not necessarily a bad thing. We need to recognize that all of the churches that preach the gospel, that know Christ, there's a place for them. And so what we see here is that Paul's concern was that his words were shared with other churches, specifically Laodicea is referenced here. And it has been shared throughout the history of the church, and we're working with the same Lord for the same ultimate purpose. And we should see ourselves as on the same teams of other biblical believers in Christ, and it assumes that we're worshiping the same God and have the same purpose that's communicated in Scripture, not connecting with the heretical groups that are also around us. We have to recognize that, but those who know Christ and are consistent with His Word, we have a point of connection that is significant. Another observation is local churches need proper care. The reference to Archippus here seems to indicate one who was serving in some official capacity. Some have suggested maybe as an interim pastor, filling in the church at Colossae. He was given some encouragement, or it could have been maybe a light rebuke. The words to him could be taken either way, but the point is that he take the task given to him with great seriousness. Well, that's probably a good encouragement for all of us. Whatever task the Lord has given us, take it seriously. Fulfill it. Bring it to completion. That's a good word for us. Paul's conclusion to this letter follows his common practice. It includes his own greeting. I'm writing this with my own hand. A prayer request. In this case, remember my chains. And a farewell, grace to you. And he gives reference to people and churches, and we just see that Paul saw the need for working with people because this was all given in context of seeing the need for communication, for relationships, and functioning within local churches. And so he ministered in community. He saw the need, the value, the importance of that, and we do well to recognize it in the same way. We're all different, but we're all important and necessary, even with our differences. And so we have opportunity today to celebrate the thing that ties all of this together, and that is the provision of salvation that we have in Christ and the communion that we enjoy with the Lord, but with one another in the body of Christ. And so we want to share in that time.